Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. And of course, I am here with Brian Sant, our technician and producer.
Always here.
Yep. So I got to tell you, Brian, I am on food euphoria thanks to your stepmom. What's her name? Georgia?
Georgia.
God, she can cook. That was awesome. So I think we're going to keep our studio here.
I had a hunch that, matter of fact, I'm pretty sure, you know, when you're driving back from Chris's, you're going to be stopping here. Hello?
Remember me? That was really good.
Wow. I told you.
Oh, man. So we have to send out a big thank you to her and your dad, Hank. What wonderful people and wonderful place to record in and eat in. And the food is just phenomenal.
And that's all she's going to talk about.
No, I'll be good. Yeah, so there's not much has been happening. I haven't heard too much in the way of the Belvedere Hotel, you know, from findings so far. Although, well, you know what was neat that night of the investigation? We were on the third floor, pointing down towards the door hallway of the second floor.
Correct.
And I took a photo with my digital still camera, a little Nikon, and I saw what was a little orb. And I thought, okay, before I even said anything, I took it and immediately took another shot, and I didn't have it. And in the time it took me to get the camera to go and get ready to take the next shot, mm-hmm. Dina, who was standing next to me, had already taken another shot. The orb that I had, she had the same orb, but like 3 feet lower in the frame. You know, if you were looking at the wall, it'd be 3 feet lower down the wall. So thank God she got the shot right after I took my first shot, and then by the time I took my second shot, it was gone.
Hmm.
You know?
Did she take another shot after yours?
I think so. I think she was trying to see if she could capture it again. It was gone.
I'm just wondering if it might have been the IR beam.
No.
The cameras.
I know what they look like, and they are huge, huge. You get like a very big, faint, gigantic orb. This was your quintessential little tiny little, you know? And it wouldn't have moved that. Because I didn't even get a chance. I didn't show up in my second one.
Right.
Where I would have been firing had she been firing.
But I'm just wondering if she was starting to focus.
Yeah, but my camera wouldn't have taken a picture of its own IR beam.
No, but you might have gotten hers. What I'm saying is you...
But then she wouldn't have gotten a picture of her IR beam either.
Right. No, what I'm saying is you took yours.
Right.
While you were taking yours, she was focusing. Her camera was doing the autofocus with the IR beam. So you maybe took a picture of her IR beam. And then when she went to go take hers, you were getting ready to take your second one. So I was wondering if yours was focusing. Yeah.
No, I see your point, but I'm telling you, I know what the autofocus beam looks like. It's a huge, very faint orb. And this was like the solid white
ball. You know me. I'm always trying to find.
Oh, no. And that's good. That's good investigating. But I can tell you. Knowing what orbs look like and what IR beam orbs look like, you know, definitely wasn't that. What was I going to say? Yeah, I haven't had a chance to go through the other stuff, but yeah, that was interesting. You know, any of your stuff turn up anything?
I still need to go through the. The only thing I have to really go through is the DVD.
Okay.
The rest of the stuff I was just carrying.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the card back, the certified card. So the DVD from our Spring Lake Heights investigation that I mailed to this Brian guy who works for Monster Quest in New York.
Okay.
At least I know it made it there. I got the card back. Somebody signed for it, but I never got an email back. I sent him an email saying, here's the tracking number. It's coming by certified mail.
Right.
He did not respond. Now I know it's been received there. I've gotten not even like a smoke signal of like, okay, yeah, I'm going to send it back to you. It's like, you know, dude, be nice. You know, would it kill you to put it back in the mail for $1.20 and send it back to me? But, you know, would it kill you to send a free email, hit reply and say, got your email, got the disc, thanks, you know? Just something. I mean, come on. I have like, what, 5 or 6 email accounts and it gets hectic, but I, you know, pretty much respond to people, even if it's like I can't respond right now, I'll send you that and say, look, I'm really busy, but I'll get back to this later, you know?
Yep.
It doesn't kill a person to do that. So, anything else new?
Nope.
Exciting? Nothing.
Nothing.
gosh. I think we're working too much.
Well, I am.
Well, you have the day job. I have just all the other crap that goes into finding the day job.
Well, yeah. Well, hey, we're trying tonight. We gave you a place to go look.
Yeah, I'm going to go over to Italy.
No, Foster Wheeler.
Yeah, I'll check it out online.
Hey, you got nothing to lose.
Oh, I know. I mean, if they're even hiring, though, that's the problem. A lot of these places aren't, you know.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I will definitely scope it out online. Although the Italy thing sounds... Like, oh, I'll learn Italian, you know, what the hell? Dude. Yeah, like hey, I said, that would be too much of a commute.
Well, no, imagine what a vacation for the kids that would be.
No, they wouldn't like it. It's too historical and beautiful. That holds no attention for
Brian
a kid.
Brian would love it.
Really?
You know how hot the Italian women are over there?
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Well, yeah, especially when... And Trent would love it if I say, hey, you know, my boss has got a Maserati. Here's your chance.
My boss has a yacht?
And a yacht. And here we go, you know. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that would hold their attention for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, they're typically, you know, like, oh, let's go on to the theme park stuff.
And, you probably wouldn't see Brian the whole time.
Oh, not with all that food. He'd either be on the yacht eating or in the mansion eating, and then that would be about it.
Nah. He'd probably meet up with a gang of kids, and he'd be hitting all their houses, getting fed at each place.
And they'd all be wondering, like, why are you so pale? What's wrong with you? You poor thing, you need to eat more. You're too white.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Oh, well, I want to remind everybody, in case we have a couple spots left for the Burlington County Prison Investigation. There's two teams of 6 people total going out, one team on May 10th and one on May 24th. They are booking up. It's $45 per person. All sales are final. So if you register and that night you're like, oh, I got a hangnail or this or that, I don't care. You paid for it. We have to cover our cost to the museum. No refund, sorry. And you can register right from our homepage of the njghs.net page. That's with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard. We are doing this, thankfully, in cooperation. You know, it was a big help to John Bylancic of Garden State Paranormal Research. He really he pulled all the information together, did a great job designing the flyer, which is a PDF that you can download from the homepage as well of njghs.net. That was all courtesy of John Bylancic. So nice work for him. Kudos, John. Keep up the great work. In fact, John is going to get involved with... Oh, that's a new thing. NJPIC, the New Jersey Paranormal Investigators Coalition, or Investigative Coalition, John is going to take on some of the website work. So
cool.
That'll be great. And I'm doing the PR work. And luckily, Bonnie, who's one of the founders of it, I spoke with her last week, and she was saying, oh, you know, I know you're under the gun with the book. So she's like, you know, just get the book done, and then we'll go full steam ahead with, you know, all the PR and the launch and everything of New Jersey. And this will be great. New Jersey Paranormal Investigator Coalition will be for all... Like, whether it's NJGHS, Skylands, Garden State Paranormal, Ghost Trackers, anything that's a ghost hunting and paranormal research organization in New Jersey,
right,
can take part and be a member of the NJPIC, basically. And that will help us to... We're going to try to funnel into one central data bank. Mm-hmm. So all of the research and stuff that's being done can be correlated and coordinated into this data bank, for at least for our state.
Right.
I know there's organizations out there, I think like Paranexus is looking to do... Like, take up where Ghost World... Ghost World had the altruistic ideal of a global data bank of research. And, of course, you know, there's Ghost World LLC is no more. And I think Paranexus, I was speaking with Yari and Doug Kelly, and between their two groups, they're pulling off this Paranexus conference, which is going to take place the weekend before Halloween in Tampa, Florida, this year.
Okay.
And, you know, I told them, you know, I'll help out in any way I can in terms of, like, talking it up on the show. If they have a commercial that they put together, we'll run it on the show. We can put a link on our site.
What are we charging?
I wouldn't. Ugh. Yari is the sweetest guy.
Oh,
I mean, I met him at Ghost World. And you know what's funny? Because he sent his email to the info at Ghost World, which still comes to me. I still get all the Ghost World info emails. And he was trying to track down Jeff Belanger. So I forwarded it on to Jeff, and I wrote back to, at this point, I don't know this person, just says, yay, Mikatola, whatever the last name is. And I just wrote back, I said, you know, I just so you know, Ghost World's no more. However, I did forward your email on to the personal email address that I have for Jeff Belanger. And then he wrote back, this guy wrote back to me, and I saw his name, Yari, but at this point, I can't tell from that name if it's male or female. And Yari was writing back saying, well, thank you for doing that. Sorry if, you know, if I didn't get to meet you at Ghost World, but it was a great conference. And I wrote back saying, well, I must have made a hell of an impression considering I was one of the partners that produced that event. You don't even remember me, you know. And then he wrote back again saying, oh, my gosh, I do remember you. I am so sorry. And when I got him on the phone, because that night we did a conference call. So Yari is out in Denver, Colorado, and Doug Kelly is in Tampa. And they wanted to talk to me to kind of pick brains of, like, what was good, what was right. bad with Ghost World, what can we do for marketing our event, da-da-da. And I was on the phone with these guys for over an hour. And as soon as Yari spoke to me, I got an instant picture of a man in my head. And I remembered talking to this one man, and I automatically said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I said, Thieves Oil, Young Living Oil. He's like, yes, yes. I'm like, okay, I totally know who you are. It was the weirdest. He's like, oh, yes, we had that whole discussion. People, if you're into Young Living Oils, and in fact, I meant to tell you, when Donna of, you know, Taps
yeah.
and Ghost Hunters International, she posted on her blog that she was coming down with the flu and, yeah, and people.
Yeah, you told me about this. Yeah.
Well, I didn't tell you this. I got an email from her today.
Oh, really?
Through MySpace from her directly. Because I posted to her blog
right.
what you could do. But I figured, you know, is she really going to look at this? So just to be safe, I copied that. And I even sent a message to her just saying, hey, you know, I posted this. But just in case, you might want to check out. And here's the website for Young Living Oils and blah, blah, blah. I got an email back from her today. And she said, oh, I didn't get to the store to get the oils, but I'll have to mention it to my friend who now has the flu. She said, I'm feeling better. And she said, say hi to Brian. So I wrote back to her again. I said, well, I'm going to see Brian tonight to do the show, so I will definitely tell him hello from Donna. So that was very nice of her. But, yeah, the Young Living oils are amazing. They're, like, therapeutic-grade oils. And you're not going to get them in a store. Like, mm-hmm. I can sell them. You know, if anybody wants them, if you're interested, just email me. You know, I'll definitely help you out. You know, it's not like I'm looking to make a sale here. I'm just telling you the stuff works. If you've got kids in school, you have to have Thieves Oil. You should always have Thieves Oil, Lavender Oil, and Frankincense Oil in the house. You can pretty much cover everything with that. But, all right, so anyway, that said, Yara and I started talking, and I was like, oh, so that's why I wouldn't charge him. You know, seriously, he's a nice guy, so... And I told them I would do what I could to support them. I said, you know, you don't have much lead time for this event. You know, you're looking to do it the weekend before Halloween in 2008. It's you know, it's tough. He said they have some presenters booked already, which is great because I know that was the first thing I cautioned him. I said, you know, it's going to take a hell of an honorarium and travel expenses to pay people to come down at that time because that's a key marketing time for all kinds of books, authors, whatever, you know. So, but anyway, if you check it out, it's Paranexus. I believe it's paranexus.com, and you can look out for their website. And when he sends me the different links and stuff, I'll put them on our site. And if we get a commercial, we'll run that as well. But, you know, and I told him to get in touch with Nathan and Sean from Ghostman and Demon Hunter. And I said, you should reach out to Doug and Scott L., you know, of Ghostly Talk. I said, because at least, you know, if you advertise on their shows, that definitely would promote
right. yeah,
it,
of course.
You know, because they have like a real like radio station setting, like more of an internet radio show.
They have an audience.
Yeah. 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 I understand the concept of an audience. Maybe not theoretically. I get it. Application wise. No, but yeah. So, anyway, so I wish them luck. I think that'll be pretty cool. So anyway, don't forget, sign up for the Burlington County Prison Investigation. There's two teams, only six people each team, May 10th, May 24th. It's from 8 to 12. That's 8 p.m. to 12 a.m., $45 per person. And your transportation to and from this event and all your meals, everything is on you. The $45 is basically to cover our PayPal fees and make the donation to the museum to keep it going. So, all righty. Anything you need to add on that?
Nope.
You going to go on that?
No.
No?
I'm going to pass on that one.
Really? Why?
Don't know.
Just not doing it for you, huh?
No, I don't know why. I mean, nothing against it or anything. Like, I just don't feel it.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know when I go down and scope it out if it's, you know.
When it gets warmer, though, I'll probably plan another Fort Mifflin, though.
Yeah, we should do that. And well, plus, as it gets warmer, I've got to start booking the cemetery hunts.
Yep.
And see if I can, you know, I got some ideas going in terms of maybe doing some different spins on the cemetery hunt to kind of concentrate the training efforts and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I got to, one of these days I should send an email to Sean over at Eastern State.
Yeah.
I should tell him and say, look, Sean, you know, no offense to you guys, but you guys got to start upping your game here.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, Fort Mifflin, you know, for a cheaper price than what you got is offering not only a place to sleep, snacks and meals during the night, breakfast in the morning, and we're there for 14 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of bang for the buck, definitely. Yeah,
Eastern State, it's it's usually $100 a person, five-person minimum. And if you have six people, you got to pay for 10.
Right.
And you're only there for 4 hours.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, we'll see. I haven't heard from Sean in a while, so I don't know. Maybe they either got too big with, you know, being on taps and stuff and got
other groups. Well, they were open during the winter, too, so. Mm-hmm. And it is wintertime, too, so there's not a whole lot of people doing a whole lot with Eastern State.
Yeah, it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That night when we went in December, oh, my God. And it was nice that day. It was like 60 degrees that day, but, boy, that sun goes down and that wind kicks through those holes. Forget it. Anyway, we should move on to our meeting announcements. Let's see. We have the Northwest Division on March 18th. That is headed up by team leader Dina Tirico in the Hackettstown Community Center, located at 293 Main Street. Special guest speaker will be David Roundtree, presenting on ghost hunting equipment basics. Then we have the Northeast Division on March 27th, 162 West Main Street in Bogota. That's the recreation building, and that meeting is led by team leader Laura Lindemann. And then we have the Central Jersey Division meeting on April 2nd, and that is headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish in the Hazlitt Library, 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. I should point out that all meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. and are free and open to the public to attend. If you have any evidence that you're not quite sure of, bring it to a meeting. We always do a share and scare segment at every meeting. And you can bring up your pictures, your recordings, what have you, and the team leaders will review it for authenticity and make their recommendations onto what you might have captured, if it's paranormal or not. And you don't have to be a member to go. And if you missed any of this information, it's right there on the homepage of njghs.net. So every time you bring up the page, I update all the meeting dates, times. There's even clickable map links to get directions and how to get there. So that's worth it. And if you want to become a member, you can pay for membership then and there, or you can decide on the way home and then PayPal when you get home from your computer, whatever you're more comfortable with. And I should warn people that there's going to be more of a delay now in the memberships processing, because I always said allow 2 weeks, and that's because I worked in Parsippany and the P.O. box is in Parsippany. So at least twice a week on a lunch hour, I would run over to the P.O. box and check it. Now that I don't have a job and I'm in Hackettstown, basically 40, 45 minutes away, there's weeks that just fly by and I'm like, oh, I never got down to check the P.O. box. So there is a significant increase in time delay now in processing the memberships, because you may mail it on February 15th. I may not get to the P.O. box till February 29th, and then it's going to take me a week to pile everything up, go through it, and ship out all the memberships. So bear with me. It is taking me longer because I don't get to check the P.O. box as frequently as I did. And once and for all, there is no Ghost World in Salem, Massachusetts this year. Okay, people? Stop sending me stuff on your limo companies, your catering outfits, your all your fun things to do in the Boston area. I don't care, okay? There is no more Ghost World.
Why do you
that? Yeah. God, duh. So anyway, check out the njghs.net website. You can get all the meeting announcements and stuff there, and we're going to take a quick break.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for ParaShare. This is the time of the show when if you've had a paranormal experience or ghost encounter, you share it by emailing it to thedeadline@njghs.net. Okay, let's try this one more time. If you've had a ghost encounter, paranormal experience, put your keys down, came back, they were gone, you came back an hour later, they were back, that's what you write up in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net, and you send it in. And when we read it on the show, you get one credit. Now, you can then make the decision to take that credit and say, I want to be a member of the NJGHS. Done. Or you can say, you know what, I want to send in more of my experiences, like 9 more, and then I can get a natal chart, which is a $75 value. And you can send me your birth date, your birth time, and birthplace, and I'll calculate out the chart, print it out, give you my handwritten notes, and send it to you. Okay, have we made this abundantly clear, right, Brian?
Obviously not, because people still don't do it.
I don't know what else to do. I mean, what do they want?
Well, you
have, what does it take?
Well, you have every address of every member. I say we go door to door and we bother them until they give us one.
That's a bit much at $3 a gallon of gas. I could do a postcard mailing. Maybe I should do once in a while a snail mailing, huh? Just to kind of bombard people and remind them that, you know, hello, we're here. You know, Brian and I have to, like, Brian's got to lug all this equipment. He's got to set everything up, break everything down. And we're like, wouldn't you say we're dedicated? I mean, gosh darn it, every other week we're getting together and we are cranking out 2 shows. So every week you people are getting a new show. You get to listen to us piss and moan about the latest things to piss and moan about. You get us to hear me digress on 7 million tangents so you don't have absolutely no bearing on the paranormal. And then we actually somehow circle back and work it all in and weave it together into a paranormal context. What more do you want? All you have to do is go and type out your stinking little story and email it. Jeez. Right?
Wow, you sound like me.
Yeah, I know. I've got like... it's all that good sand food that they fed me tonight.
Oh, don't say that upstairs.
Why?
Oh, it's not sant here.
Oh, it's not?
It's sant.
Oh, sant. Okay, well, it's all that good sant food. Well, anyway, so as you can tell by my caustic ranting and raving here, there is no parish share this week. So,
surprise, surprise, surprise.
So hit it, Brian. Now it's time for News of the Weird. Okay. The divorce of Anton Papazov and his wife, Natalia, is about to go through, but the couple are still contractually married. They're still contractually committed to the Moscow State Circus, where their act includes Natalia shooting an apple off of Anton's head with a crossbow. Yeah. The Times of London asked Anton, during a show in Sheffield, England, in February, whether he was afraid.
"I still trust her because Natalia is very professional," he said. "The show must go on."
No, we don't have that sound effect.
Aw, man!
I'm just wondering why you have the teen parentheses.
I don't know. That was probably how it just copied him. Oh, you know why? Because there was a little blurb thing that But the show must go on, is what he continued to say in his very nice Russian-esque accent. Okay, in January... I apologize for that, people, because there was supposed to be a... sound of a, you know, an arrow being shot and hitting a target, but we apparently couldn't find that.
Well, no, I found it, but they had the wrong sound file for it.
Oh, okay. And now back to our show. In January, Derry, New Hampshire, town administrator Gary Stenhouse told Thomas Soularis that he'd have to move his sausage stand.
Oh, the laughing started.
No, I'm composed. I can do this. His sausage stand, because he was trespassing on city property. Stop looking at me like that. You're trying to do this to me. Don't do it to me. Soularis had set up the stand at the... Now, get this. Brian, stop it. He set up his stand at the town's garbage transfer station, and Stenhouse said there might be municipal liability issues, especially if other food vendors followed Soularis and set up stands at the dump. Now, can you imagine? You're pulling into the city dump, you're like, beer here, hot dogs, get your beer here, you know?
Believe it or not, that's a good idea.
Oh, God, how could you want to go and be dumping garbage and then knowing sausage? Sausage is one of those, what they call a fast food, man.
Do you know how much sanitation workers make and how much they pay for stuff right there?
We're not talking sanitation workers. He's getting me upset and that choisy accent's coming out. All right, no, we're not talking about...
It's a garbage transfer station. That's sanitation.
Well, it says municipal. You mean you're that's not like the regular town dump that all the people who live in town take their stuff to?
No.
Oh.
Come on, you're from Jersey. You should know about sanitation.
No. You know, I wrote a check and I paid for garbage pickup once a year. I wasn't going to get my hands dirty. And then whatever I was married to was in charge of taking whatever had to go to the dump, 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 dump, dump. All right, anyway. In January, Shafkat Munir, 26, was sentenced to 12 months in jail for an attempted hoax in Lancashire County, England, in 2007 after receiving 3 speeding tickets. Rather than pay the fines, totaling the equivalent of about $350, and retain his license since his record was otherwise clean, Munir created his own death certificate to get the charges dismissed, said an official. I have never known anyone to go such lengths over speeding tickets. The judge also revoked Munir's license. Okay. A 39-year-old man fell to his death while trying to slide down a banister in the Hollywood and Highland Center Mall in Los Angeles in January. All right, sorry. And 3 more people died recently as a result of disrespecting railroad tracks. A 42-year-old man hit by a train on tracks near Burlington, Illinois, while listening to his iPod. A 31-year-old man hit by a train in Berkeley, California, while talking on his cell phone. And another man hit by a train in San Leandro, California, also while on his cell phone. You gotta wonder.
In December, even after the wildly reported tiger attack on a visitor at the San Francisco Zoo, the Houston Zoo was still allowing its visitors to play tug-of-war with its own lions and tigers. A 20-pound slab of meat attached to a long rope is tossed into the enclosure, and visitors are encouraged to toy with the cats by yanking on it as the animal lunges for it. Said a Houston zookeeper, "The game keeps the animals from getting bored." Besides, a zoo official said, "The lion or tiger kind of lets us know when he wants to play, and we go along with that." Yeah, you think? Jeez. Something like that says, "I want to play." It's like, yeah, sure, no problem. Awesome capacities. Jason Panchalk, 36, was admitted to Pima County in Arizona jail in December, facing a charge of trafficking in stolen property. But he arrived prepared. According to a jailer, Panchalk was carrying some syringes, matches, lighter, heroin, marijuana, and an assortment of pills, all inside his rectum. And in October, court officials in Cork, Ireland, who were suspicious of a defendant's demeanor, had him medically examined. According to a report in the Irish Independent, doctors found a mobile phone, SIM card, and charger all wrapped in foil and coated with lubricant inside his rectum. There is a funny thing here.
Oh, all of you have been dying!
Yeah. David Thompson, 49, was convicted in Edinburgh, Scotland, of smothering his mom to death after she had taunted him for his inept suicide attempt several weeks before. That'll teach mommy to tease her son. In Sydney, Australia, a man was charged with beating a neighbor to death because the neighbor was watering his lawn in violation of the city's water restrictions. That's good neighborly advice. Dude, I told you not to do that. Kaboom. Nice. The boss of a factory in North Korea was executed by firing squad before 150,000 people in a South Pyongan province stadium after he was convicted of the crime of making out-of-country telephone calls. What don't you know? Can you imagine? I mean, we call it in the United States, like, oh, I got fired. You know, while I was making these long-distance calls, my boss caught on, I got fired. But apparently in South Korea, you're literally put before a firing squad and fired.
That's why I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. You know, this other Asian girl. I think she was on The View for a while with Barbara Walters, and she spun off into her own kind of, like, news documentary show from one of those channels, like Discovery or something. And she was on Oprah, and that's how I saw this. And she said she did a whole segment of going into, I think it was North Korea, somewhere, one of those, like, Koreas that's, like, really, like, tough to get in and out of, and they control everything.
North Korea.
Yeah, North Korea. And it was amazing when, you know, like, the footage that she was able to show, and she said how, like, each morning, you know, like, if she wasn't with the guards that the North Koreans had issued her, and the specific TV crew and the cameraman and everything, they were all put in their hotel rooms, and then the guards stood outside their door, and that was it. She said no internet. There's no internet in the country. They don't even have it. There's maybe, like, one phone, and that's about it. No cell tower. She's like, you go there, you are, like, excommunicated. And that's how they keep the North Koreans, like,
they
have no clue that you could hop on the internet and be talking to all these different countries in the flash of a second. And she said all of that, you know, you're just totally removed from that. They kept her, like, if she wasn't doing what she was supposed to do under their supervision and approval, you know, for this documentary, she was in the hotel room with a guard outside the door, and that was it. You could not interact. You couldn't call. She got to call her boyfriend once, like, the whole time she was there, you know, and had a guard standing right by her while she was on the phone and somebody translating to the guard what she was saying to her boyfriend. And I was like, oh, my God. So that's pretty rough over there. I don't think I could. Well, the Far East has never held any allure for me.
I'd rather go to Italy.
Yeah. Boy, those pictures, you're stepmom was showing. Oh my God. So that means that's, well, her cousin
So that's your second cousin, then?
Well, not really. I mean...
Well, sort of.
Sort of in the long way.
By marriage,
around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that's a nice... Nice little villa the guy's got going on there. Wow.
You think I was joking when I said, hey, Dad, see if he's got an opening.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing keeping me here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for you, yeah. Yeah. But it looks beautiful. Well, maybe, you know, if we ever do plan a trip to go over there, at least we could stop in and we'd know somebody. We could at least stop in and say hello, you know.
Well, from what she tells me, if we stopped in just to say hello, he'd basically be putting us up and...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to impose or be, like, taken advantage, but it would just be nice to say, oh, my God, somebody I know in Italy, you know.
That's the host he is, though.
Yeah. That's really nice.
I mean, he'd like, you know, stay here. You know, I'm going on a business trip for a week. Just stay in my house and...
Ugh. Tennis courts. Was there a pool? I didn't notice if there were a pool.
I don't know.
Well, he has a dock, right, for the yacht?
Well, if the yacht was small enough.
Yeah, that's right. He had to find another place to put his yacht because it was too big.
Well,
terror.
Well, she told me that when they were there, the yacht wasn't there. He basically loaned it to some friends to use.
Hmm. Oh, here, take mine. Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. See, there's money to be made out there. And this is all from cement trucks, right? He makes cement trucks. Mixing trucks.
Yep, that's it.
Amazing. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits.
Oh, yeah, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week, we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
So, what do you do when you catch a ghost?
Burn that bridge when I come to it, I suppose.
Meet Irving Rehnquist.
So, do you still go for any young thing in a little skirt that'll take you?
You're not the sharpest tool in the shed, are you?
An out-of-work, out-of-shape paranormal investigator.
You've been giving me nothing, Irving. Your focus is shifting off this project.
That girl, Dottie, she has a ghost.
We have something!
Can I come tonight?
Do you want to come on an investigation?
Oh, yeah. This is no time to
lose your head. All right, remember the strategy.
Try not to talk at all if I can help it.
So we split up.
Is that okay?
No, that is not okay.
That means I'm gonna eat something that's gonna turn into a giant worm.
Mommy.
Or maybe I'm gonna look into a mirror and I'm gonna see something there on my face and it's gonna make me pick at it until I'm pulling my skin off.
You don't believe that crap, do you?
Hey, you're a ghost hunter, okay? You chase after ghosts and UFOs.
Irving Rehnquist Ghost Hunter. Series premieres October 31st, only at irvingrehnquist.com.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what is the name of the haunted house in Cape Cod that has the friendly ghosts? And the answer is the Dillingham House in Sandwich, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I wonder if we got any winners.
Probably not.
Yeah, I doubt it. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of kind of easy. The ghost of Elizabeth Ford supposedly haunts this place in Nashua, New Hampshire, still today. Her husband, a sea captain, murdered her. Apparently, he had been away at sea on a very long voyage, well over 9 months, and when he returned, he found his wife had given birth. He killed her and the infant and buried them near the house. Her ghost is said to be lovable and yet still in search of her lost baby. What is the name of this now restaurant? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the 2008 Llewellyn Astrological Calendar, complete with monthly astro highlights and moon phases. This is a retail value of $12.99. So, have you ever been to Nashua, New Hampshire?
can't say I have.
I've always wanted to go there. This goes back to when I got into the whole, like, New Agey stuff. And Nashua, apparently, is, like, the New Age mecca of New England, you know? And a lot of times people, like, when I had my bookstore, and they would all come in and go, oh, we're going up to this conference, we're going up to this convention. And it was always up in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I'm like, I want to go there. They said there's, like, all kinds of New Agey stores like what I had. And
well, now you have someone to go with.
Who?
Chris.
Oh. Yeah. Right.
Jump right on his bike and head up there.
This is someone who's either got to sleep or work. When the hell is he going to go to Nashua?
Oh, he's got vacation.
I don't know. I think he said he takes that to paint his house or something. I don't ask. I just take it at face value. I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. But I would still like to go up there.
Well, there you go, Chris. Now you know where to take her.
Now, he said he wants to go someplace warm and with room service. If we ever actually get our big toes out the door to go somewhere besides to work or to sleep. So who knows? But yeah, I would like to go up to Nashua because it's supposed to be very beautiful. And, you know, all the New Agey stuff supposedly was up there. I don't know if it still is. And now reading about this haunted place, I could have a nice place to go have lunch at a haunted.
There you go.
And I almost slipped and said the answer because I'm looking at it in the script. Oh, my word. But, yeah, so yeah, I want to get up there one of these days. I think now it's the White Mountains in New Hampshire, right, where the old man in the mountain is, that weird kind of profile. It looks like an old man's profile when you look at it. I think that's in New Hampshire. Yeah, I think because I was at one point, I forget what the name of the college was. There was some college up in Vermont, and I was going to go up to that college in Vermont. And then I remember a friend of mine saying, well, if you end up at school there, you can't ever mention anything when you're in Vermont about New Hampshire, because supposedly the two states, like, kind of bicker back and forth or whatever.
Like Clinton and Obama?
Who?
Clinton what? And Obama?
You know, it's just not a good time to be a voter. I hate to say it, but it's just, and I don't want to get into politics because I know it's like religion and music. It's very personal, but it's just not a good time to be a voter. You know, there's slim pickings, man. There really is slim pickings. So I don't know what we're going to do, but I don't know. I guess anything besides a Bush is a step up at this point, huh? Hello. And who's breaking protocol by leaving his BlackBerry on?
I put it in standby, so it shouldn't even have come on.
Uh-huh, sure. So, anyway. Oh, and I found out some depressing news this last week.
Okay.
This is personally depressing. All I wanted when I got my income tax return back was to finally get rid of my POS cell phone.
Right.
And get an iPhone. I'm on Verizon. Verizon snubbed its nose at taking on the iPhone, so AT&T has it exclusively. So in order for me to get an iPhone, I'd have to switch over to the AT&T, which is what I had originally until Exidiot number 2 talked me into switching over to Verizon, which Verizon made more sense given where we ended up living because AT&T didn't have signals back then. But it just breaks my heart. I wanted that iPhone.
Why?
Because it's cool, man. And then, because I don't...
This is from the person who's unemployed?
Yeah, well...
And you're going to buy a $400 phone?
$500.
$500.
Well, I figure if you're going to spend it, you must spend the extra $100 and get the 16 gigger that just came out.
Yeah.
And, because listen, it's multifunctional. I don't have an iPod. And everybody, my kids are ragging on me all the time. They're like, Mom, I can't believe it. You're still listening to, like, my CD player is still... I have a beautiful Alpine deck that should be back in my car. And I had it taken out of the other car, and then when I bought this new one, the Alpine deck is still sitting in my closet. I've never bothered to take out the crap stock radio CD player that came with the car and put the Alpine back in. But even still, it would only play one CD at a time, but of course it's a lot nicer sounding than the crap that came stock. But in any event, so I don't have an iPod. I'm working off of a one CD stock car radio player in the car. I have a Wega TV that's, like, you know, the size of, like, a small T-Rex sitting on top of this table for, like, a minimal screen.
Okay, I can understand a new TV. I can understand that.
But I can't, you know. So I figured the iPhone would not only allow me to do all the stuff like a BlackBerry, but more easily, because it's easier to touch on that. So I'd have my email and internet capability. I'd have an iPod capability for music. I'd have the phone capability. I'd have all these neat bells and whistles and gizmos.
Yeah,
and
but you know how much you'd be paying a month for your bill?
How much?
Oh, at least $100 or more.
Well, I'm already paying like $150.
No, I'm just talking your own phone.
Oh. Why? Because AT&T is expensive?
Well, because you want phone, you want internet.
Well, Verizon's going to do the same thing. Even if I upgrade my crappy Samsung to like a nicer LG phone, just a plain LG camera phone, they're like, oh, well, if you want that, it's now, you have to buy the package. It's $30 a month. That's why I can't do Pix messaging or any kind of email from my cell phone anymore because they changed the plan and you have to pay $30 a month to have all that. So my son has it on his phone, but if I want my phone to do it again, I got to pay another $30 a month.
My phone, I pay $5 a month for 250.
250 what?
Text, pics, or whatever.
Well, I still have the $10 a month that I pay, which is unlimited texting. Okay? Pretty much unlimited. And, but I had to pay the extra for him to have email, and I don't have it. And I told her, I said, I want the email on my phone because I have my WNBC traffic alerts come into my email, and then I could always access it from my phone if I was on the road to find out, should I reroute, you know, if there was a traffic problem.
Well, now you have your crap.
That doesn't do that. It doesn't link into the traffic situation. So that's why I want the iPhone, because then, man, I could zoom right in, I could see all the traffic alerts, I could do all this stuff, I could get MapQuest in case crap isn't doing too well. So, I'm bummed. I had my heart kind of set on that, you know, but, so, you know, it would have just solved everything. I would have been up to date on music.
I would have said, I would have taken the money for that phone and gotten a new TV.
You think I should get a new TV?
You don't need an iPhone. I mean, if you have the choice of the two, which one would be better?
iPhone?
Not for you, but more practical. A new TV.
Really?
Well, you're not going to have that 200-pound TV sitting on that thing.
It really is.
And I mean, you're going to be looking at that TV probably more than the iPhone.
Oh, my father and I had to get it out of the trunk and lug it up the stairs to go up to my apartment. I was so worried he was going to have a hernia. I thought I was going to like just have a heart attack. My heart was pounding out of my chest with the two of us carrying that thing. It was huge. And I even said to him, you know, first of all, it was barely going to fit. I was like, Dad, we're going to have to cut the box open right here in the parking lot. So we had to take it out of the box in the parking lot.
You're lucky you got in the car with the box.
Oh, well, he had his Cadillac. Oh, okay. And then the trunk didn't close, but we had those bungee cord things. Oh, my God. I thought I'd die, and I really was worried about him. And then we get it upstairs, and he's like, okay, where do you want it? And I'm like, on this thing. He goes, you don't have a TV stand? I'm like, no, we're going to use Grandma's old foyer piece of furniture.
I'd go with the flat screen.
Yeah. Yeah, and then how the hell am I going to get that mammoth back out of there? Who am I going to talk into saying, oh, hey, you know, free TV, you carry it, you get it?
Honestly, yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah. I don't know, to say, $100, you come and get it.
You think somebody would pay $100 for that antiquated thing?
Put in some kid's room, yeah.
Really?
Let's see, you have an 8-year-old kid, and they want to play their Xbox or whatever. You don't want them to use the big TV in the living room. They want to use something in the bedroom. Now, do you want to go spend $500 for a flat screen or a $100 cheapo one that if it breaks, no big deal?
Well, it's not a cheapo. It's a Sony. I mean, it's a good TV.
Yeah, but
TV.
I'm talking, you know.
Yeah, but I think I only paid like $300 or something for it. I paid under $300 when I bought it.
Or someone going to college or something. You know, $100, you'd find.
Yeah, but it's so huge. Nobody, a kid's room. It would swallow up the kid's bed. It's so gigantic.
You'd find someone still.
Yeah,
I think so.
All right, anybody out there? If you want a Sony Wega,
how big?
100. It's not that big. You've seen it. What was it like? 30.
31. 32.
Probably a 32-inch diagonal.
There you go.
It's a flat screen, it's a Sony, it's, you know. I mean, it works great, the picture's great. It's just everything now is done in high def, a lot of the shows. And all the DVDs and everything that you get, even from Netflix, are coming set up for those rectangular TVs, you know, versus, like, mine's still more traditional. You know, like, I need a full picture. Otherwise, every time you're looking at a movie, you got the black bar on the top and the bottom.
I'd still
and then when
that.
I'm at Chris's and I see the movie and I'm like, no black bar. This looks so nice.
Well, depends on the TV and the movie. Because some of the ones, even when they're, you know, they're widescreen, you can still see black bars.
On some really? Yep. Even on the regular, TV that it's meant for type of deal?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Well, in any event, that was my depressing news. So, don't forget to sign up for the Paranormal Intensive 2008 coming to Hackettstown September 20th, okay? We have all these great workshops. Take a look at the Para Intensive page on the NJGHS.net website. Each workshop is $25 per person. You can register for as many as you want. Don't have to worry about them overlapping because only one person can talk at a time, so don't worry about that. And now we have the dinner and spirit circle at the Haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse that night with the famous psychic medium, Jane Doherty. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. It's only $60 per person. That includes the buffet dinner. I believe the menu I put on the little blurb there on the webpage. And so it's the buffet dinner, tax and tip, and the spirit circle with Jane Doherty. You can stay tuned to our website, which is www.njghs.net. And always see the latest and greatest info. And if you want it blasted right into your email, sign up for our NJGHS Yahoo groups. The link is there on the homepage, as well as the link for PayPal to sign up for lifetime membership of $20 per person. Or again, you can.
I can.
Send a parishare and get membership. Oh, come on. Work with me here, Brian. Come on.
I know better.
All right, so that's it for this week. We're checking out of here. I want to say thanks, of course, to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of our show, The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Tirico, and Laura Lindemann. And, of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly. Don't forget to vote for us on PodcastAlley.com because, you know, at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.